have been studying in Hebrews, you know, about running the race of faith and so forth. And let me just read from there, but I hope, go ahead and you go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, but let me just read what we studied on Sunday. Therefore, since we're so surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And we all say amen to that. So on Sunday, as I turn to Ephesians 6 with you, on Sunday we learned how to run the race of faith. We learned how to do it correctly. In other words, we are to lay aside, meaning to strip off or to put off every weight. Now, we know that there's a difference between weight and sin. A weight doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. There's a lot of good things that can weigh us down in our race for faith. Amen? Yeah, and we've already covered all that. But we are to strip those things away. We're to lay them aside, every weight, and also that specific sin. It says, the sin that so easily ensnares us or entraps us or ambushes us, if you will. And we know that that sin totally disables the runner, okay? And we know that to be the sin of unbelief. You cannot run the race of faith if you don't believe it, amen? All right, so we've already learned all of that. And so we run with endurance, that ongoing spirit-endued power in our hearts, to keep running no matter what the circumstances, the cost, no matter the consequences, whatever we face in this life. We just keep running the race that is set before us, and we know how we do it. And that is by looking only to one person, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen? Now, we are to lay aside, put off, strip away every weight, but there's also things, if we're going to run the race of faith, that we need to put something on as well. And that's why we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Now, if we're going to run this race of faith, we know that we do it in the newness, in a newness of life. Amen? Meaning the new birth. We're a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. All things have become new. And so we're to put off someone, that old man, the old Billy is what I call myself. We're to strip him away. He is a big weight. Amen? He wants to sit back on the throne of your heart. And Victor, you need to turn me up just a tiny, tiny bit so I can, my hearing is off, okay? There we go. That's getting better. Thank you. Now, so with all that being said, we have to strip away the old man. We're no longer in Adam. Amen? And we put on the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible tells us this in Ephesians 4:24, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, or in true holiness. Now, how do you put on the new man who is going to run? The moment you're born again, you're running the race of faith. Amen? Whether you know it or not, you are in the race. There is already a preordained, pre-appointed race that is set before you. It is unique to each and every individual, except we're all looking to Jesus together. Amen? So how do you really put on the new man? There's only one way. This says in Ephesians 4:23 that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. Isn't that interesting? The spirit of our mind. Not be renewed in our mind, but the spirit of our mind. In other words, there's something in fallen man that whenever Adam fell, they lost something. Does that make sense? But see, so when you renew yourself in the spirit of your mind, you're redeeming what you lost. And you're a whole new man. You're no longer in Adam. You're in Christ. Amen? And there's only one way to do that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Don't be squeezed into the mold of this world, fashioned. Don't let them tell you how to live, how to act, what to say and what not to say. Amen? Or how to dress. You know, the world comes out with something every day. I mean, you know, I saw someone in bell bottoms. You don't even, do y'all remember what that was? Bell bottoms? And they're wearing bell bottoms again. I saw somebody in a tie-dyed shirt, and they weren't smoking dope, man. You know what I'm saying? And so, I mean, where it comes, everything just comes back around. Like the Bible says, there is nothing new under the sun. Amen? So, you know, I like 501 jeans, personally. I think you could just, that's all you need in life. Isn't that right? And maybe Wranglers once in a while. That's when you want to dress up. Never mind. So do not be conformed to this world, because we're not of this world, but be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. And if you do not renew your mind, loved one, then you will never know the will of God, you will never know how to defeat the enemy, and you will never know how to run the race of faith, because the only way that you can renew your mind is by these 66 books called the Bible. Amen? And there's no other way. Now, we're running this race, and what's unique about it, and we don't think of it this way, I know, but God has provided His clothing, His garments, His wardrobe, if you will, to run this race. Think about that. In other words, to run this race of faith, God says, here's what you're going to need. You're going to need to put on the whole armor of God. Not part of the armor of God, but you need to put it on, the whole armor of God, but you also need to know what each piece of the armor stands for, what it is and what it does in your life as you run the race of faith. Does that make sense? Okay, now, I know that when we get into Ephesians here, chapter 6, that this is very familiar territory. Never treat the Word of God as familiar. Do you understand? That is, boy, the devil wants you to do that. Listen, the Word of God, John 3:16, 50 years ago to me, John 3:16 meant something incredible. Today, it means 1,000 times more than it meant to me back then. Does that make sense? See, the older you get in Christ, the deeper the Word of God, the more deeper the meaning comes to you in your life. So never just say, oh, I know about the armor of God, or I know about this, I know the Christmas story, whatever it might be. That's when you are robbed, and that's when you are cheated, and that's when the nugget of gold that God wants to place in your heart and mind, the devil comes up and says, thank you, I want that. You think Scripture's that familiar? The devil will say, I've known it from the beginning. I know every word of God. That's what he could tell you, because he does. He knows Scripture better than we do. Now, so with all of that being said, God has provided this wardrobe. Now listen carefully. Only the Bible, out of all the books in the world, only the Bible tells man, tells the believer, that he has an enemy. Amen? And only the Bible tells us that the Christian and everyone else in the world, they just don't know it, we all live in enemy territory. We live in a fallen world with fallen people who are in Adam, and in Adam all die. And with this fallen world where people are going through the activities of life, they possess physical life, but they do not have the living spiritual life of God dwelling in them. That's why they are dead in trespasses and sins. Amen? Now, with all of that being said, we live in enemy territory. 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God. And the whole world lies in the sway, in the arms, in the cradle of the wicked one. And only the Bible, no other book in the world, only the Bible tells us how our enemy fights. His tactics, his schemes, his methods that he uses. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. But the thief, he comes to do three things: to kill, to steal, right, and destroy. What? Your life, your walk. He doesn't want you to run the race of faith. He doesn't want you to put on any of the garments of the armor of God at all. And only the Bible tells us about our enemy. It tells us about his fall, or you could say his beginning. Then it tells us about his fall. Then it tells us about what he's doing. Then it tells us about his end, which we will all witness one day. Amen. And then it tells us who he really is. He is the defeated, say that word, defeated. He is the defeated oppressor, the father of all lies, oppressor of mankind. And he is defeated because Christ has defeated him. Amen. Now, but with all that being said, remember 1 John 3:8. It says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy, or literally render inoperative, the works of the devil. Oh, the devil has a lot of different works, doesn't he? Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, we're going to talk about clothing for the race, or a wardrobe for the race. Let's look at it. Paul the Apostle writes, and he tells the church at Ephesus, and he also tells the 21st century church tonight. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in your own strength, in your own wisdom, in your own might. Is that what he says? No, we've got to get this one down. If you don't do verse 10, it doesn't matter if you know the rest of them or not. You have to start right there at verse 10. Finally, brethren, he says, be strong in the Lord, and what else? In the power of his might. See, the enemy wants immature Christians, untaught Christians, to fight in their own strength. He laughs at that. He loves that, amen? Oh, he says, oh, I've got you down, man. So this is how we run. We run, we're strengthened in the power of someone else and not ourselves. And we can possess that. We have to know by faith and believe by faith that we, in us, we, since we're in Christ, we possess the greatest power in us in the entire universe. What did John the Apostle say? He said in 1 John 4:4, He said, we know that we're the children of the Lord, and greater is he who is in us, Jesus, of course, than he who is in this world. Amen? So, you know, we have no reason not to be strong in the Lord unless we're running this race without faith, without believing the God who cannot lie. Now, we also are to know his methods, the devil's methods. Look at them quickly. Verse 11. He says, now put on, now that's the runner's clothing, okay? It's urgent. You're responsible for something we do. Put on the, how much armor? The whole armor of God. And look at the reason why, loved one, that you may be able to stand. That word means to literally, that you hold your position against the wiles of the devil. The wiles means the strategies, the methods, and so forth. In other words, so you will never be the victim, but always the victor. Amen? Now, so the wiles of the devil, and then he tells us something about who we fight against. For we do not fight against flesh and blood. In other words, we don't fight against each other. Well, hasn't the devil done a good job of making that happen? In other words, the devil says, oh, don't fight me. No, fight each other. Tear apart the light of the world. Tear apart the salt of the earth. Tear apart the ones that were chosen in him before the foundation of the earth. Gossip and lying and cause discord in the church. He loves that, doesn't he? Man, we don't fight against each other. And that is one of the biggest problems in Christendom. We're not for one another. We're not praying one for another. When one is honored, instead of all of us being honored, we get jealous. You know, someone saw me, Dan Majalan, them will call this, someone saw me in that brand new Corvette, remember? It was 2023, the fast one. And it was red. And so I got in that thing. And I drove it home, and I was shaking because I'm old. It's too much power for me, you know what I mean? I like the slow lane, but I did get on it. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is, I only had been in that thing 1 hour, and the rumor was already going across the church. Bill bought a brand new Corvette. That wasn't true. No, I'm not going to go into it. Dan, did I buy that Corvette? Thank you. It is in my garage right now. No, I'm just... So we need to be for one another, amen, not tearing each other apart. He says, where am I at? He says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, people, but look who we wrestle against, principalities, against powers, the demonic powers, if you will, against the rulers of the darkness of this age. What a word is that? We, Satan and his fallen angels, that's what Satan is a fallen angel, okay? He's not omniscient. He's not all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing. He is a fallen angel, okay? He's not more powerful than God, no. But the thing is that they're part of an antichrist world, a system that doesn't want anything to do with God, doesn't want God involved in anything that they organize, if you will. So it says, darkness of this age. And then look at this one, against spiritual hosts, that word means armies, spiritual host of wickedness. Is that a scary word? Think about that. There is a demonic army in the heavenlies, loved one. And it says here, this host, a spiritual host, armies of wickedness in the heavenly places. Remember the prince of the power of the air, that's the devil? That's his domain. You know, he's confined, man. He's confined to this area. And there's his domain right there. And there's demons all over the world, if you will, if you study out Daniel and so forth, that they actually rule over nations. You know what I mean? And so it's a very frightening thing, unless you know the Word of God. Therefore, take up. Now, this is a command, and we do so by faith, okay? Therefore, take up, it says, the whole armor of God, and look at the reason, that you may be able to withstand or resist in the evil day. And loved one, every day is evil today, okay? And he says, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, meaning stand to the end. Now, how is that done? It's done by putting on the seven pieces of clothing or armor that we're about to study. So it says now in 14, stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Now listen very carefully. These seven pieces, literally, did you know that every piece is really Jesus? See, every piece is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It says, girding up your waist with truth. Who is the truth? Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. And the Bible, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, he called him the Spirit of Truth, okay? So here, the command, stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. In other words, tuck up your robe, okay? Put it into your belt. You have to be ready to run at any moment's notice, amen? And that's what we're to do here. Remember that the belt holds on every piece of the armor. And if you don't have the belt, you don't have the rest of the armor. You can't, in other words, you can't start with another piece. This is the very first piece, and there's no way around it. You have to have it. So the first piece is God's eternal, immutable, unchanging, living Word of God. Amen? And he says, you put that on, and you can stand against anything in this universe, especially the powers of darkness. And we demonstrate, as we'll learn in a little bit, we demonstrate the defeat of the devil, if you will, with words. Did you know that? The Word of God. We cast down lies and replace it with God's truth, don't we? Absolutely. And so look at it. Having put on now, first you got the truth, and then the next piece, having put on, that's something else, you're getting dressed up, the breastplate of righteousness. Now think about that breastplate, that if you know, Paul, of course, a lot of people say he was using the picture of a Roman soldier, whether he was or not, it doesn't matter. But a breastplate covers an area where you will not be stabbed in a way. Does that make sense? It's this area here. But spiritually speaking, it means that it covers your heart, not the emotional realm of your heart. In other words, it's for your emotions. And emotions, are they real? And does the devil know they're real? Oh, listen. Is shame an emotion? Guilt? Oh, you got it. Doubt, fear, all the rest of it. And I'll tell you something. He, you know, your heart, I don't know how about your heart, but my heart is very, very skilled at picking out my failures. You know what I mean? Oh, and the devil loves that, okay? Now, condemnation, he accuses you in the emotional realm. Condemnation is always of the devil. Conviction is always of the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's important to remember that. And Satan wants your heart, your emotional realm. He wants you to live a roller coaster life of emotions, up and down, drama, whatever it might be. That's what he wants you to do. But it says, again, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really ever think of righteousness, that breastplate, that righteousness as a weapon? You remember what Paul called righteousness in Second Corinthians, is it someplace in 2 Corinthians 5:7 or wherever? He called righteousness armor. Armor. Think about that. And so, in other words, our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags. We need a righteousness that is absolutely perfect for all eternity. We must have, if we're going to contend with the wicked one, we must have a righteousness that can never, absolutely never change. Amen? Now, we know the true breastplate of righteousness is Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. Amen? And we know Romans 8:1, therefore there is now, this very moment, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord, who are in Him. In other words, we have been justified by God when we believed in Jesus Christ as our Lord. Amen? Amen? Okay. And what happened? The moment that occurred, Jesus be the Lord of my life. Come in and live in me. What did God do in heaven? In the courtroom of heaven, God did this. He made a judicial decision, okay? And what he did was this. He imputed into your account, so to speak, the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. And so when God looks at you now, since Jesus has paid for your every sin, and God says, I have now forgotten your every sin, He says that when I see you as perfect as my son. Now, that is a position, not our practice, okay? Very important that you get that. Your spiritual position is the same. In other words, if you can change the perfect righteousness of Christ, we're all in trouble. And you can't do that. It's been imputed into our account. Our record is as perfect as Jesus Christ. And that drives the devil crazy. That's why he attacks your emotional realm. Look at you. Look what you've done. Listen, our sins, loved one, listen now. Our sins have been paid for, past, present, future. Grace is not a license to sin. Amen. All right, amen. Now, with all that being said, remember this about warfare. The righteousness of Christ that's been put into our account, It keeps us out of hell, amen? But it doesn't keep us from the one who is going to hell, the devil, all right? He is always there. He is on this earth to attack us, man. So we put on that breastplate of righteousness. When you hear inside of your heart, you know, that God doesn't love you, all those things, he says, oh, no, he loves me. He loves me just as much as he loves his own son, amen? Now, look at the next one, the rest of the clothing. Verse 15, and having shod, the word shod means shoes, okay? So, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the preparation simply means this, the state of being ready. Not preparing to be ready. You are already ready, meaning you have a firm footing. Man, you're ready no matter what comes along. And if your firm footing is because you understand the knowledge of the gospel of peace. Do you understand what it means? And I know a lot of great teachers of the Bible. I love them and I respect them. And they always say, well, this right here is speaking of the good news, is speaking of evangelism, but that's not what the text is teaching. To know the text, read your context. Amen? Are we talking about the good news? No, we're talking about warfare. Are you with me? How beautiful are the feet, they use that scripture, are those that bring the gospel of peace. And that's a true word, but this is not about the good news. This is about the gospel of peace. Why? This is warfare. The gospel of peace, if you will, here. The good news of peace that we have is our balance as we're fighting the enemy. See, our feet are shod and we are balanced. We're not off balance at all. And see, what happens in the battle, you know it, I know it, I've lived through it, you've lived through it, and we have to train our hearts, is that in the midst of conflict, crisis, the battle, when you feel like all hell is coming against you, what do you want? Well, you want peace. But so what happens? So the devil sends you on rabbit trails, if you will, to search for peace wherever you can find it. But the thing is, you already have it. Does that make sense? See, peace is your balance. You can sit there and say, I'm at peace. I know what you're throwing at me. I know what you're doing. I see all the circumstances, but I don't walk by what I see. I walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Now, I'm running the race of faith. I can sit here. Yes, everything is falling apart in the world. I'm not worried about it. If God's not worried about it, why is Bill worried about it? If he can rest at night, which, you know, he doesn't ever sleep or slumber, but, you know, if he could, well, and I will, amen? I'm going to lay my head on the pillow. I'm gone. I'm out. Jesus is the one that's holding the whole world together, not us. He's the sustainer of all things, amen? He upholds all things by the word of his power. So I think we can rest. Now, so what happens is, in the midst of battle, we start looking for avenues for peace. We say, well, maybe if I go do this or whatever. And what happens is, it usually leads us to the wrong place. One of my favorite scriptures is that of King David in the Psalm 55:4, where David cries out and he says this, my heart is severely pained within me. That's my emotional realm, remember? He says, as the terrors of death, oh, they've fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. He's saying, my life has been turned inside and out. I just want peace. And so listen to what David said. It says, so I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. In other words, to be at peace. Indeed, I would wander far off. And man, I would remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from this windy storm and this tempest. Listen, peace from the battle is never found by running away. It is never found, peace in the battle is never found in a location. It is never found in isolation. If I can just get to Hawaii, well, you saw what happened to Hawaii, you understand? Oh, no, you have to put on your shoes and you had to stand, because peace is your balance, stand in the greatest peace in all the world. Why? Peace is not a place. Peace is not a change in your environment. Peace is not buying a brand new home or a brand new car. Hello. Peace is a person. And Jesus is our peace in the storm. Amen? He's our peace in the battle. And he who stands in Christ stands firm in his peace. Jesus said this in John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace. I give you. The Prince of Peace gives us his peace. He says, not of the world gives do I give to you, lest your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. How about this one about the peace of God? In Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing. And as I always say, look up that word nothing in the dictionary. You know what it means? Nothing. Don't let your life be torn. That word means to be torn apart. We get our word angina, like a heart attack or something, okay? Don't be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do two things. Will guard, that means to set a military arsenal around, to guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. So many of us get into trouble by violating peace that God has given to us. We violate it. Listen, when I don't know what to do, when I can't find the answer in the Bible, I go to Colossians 3:15. It says this, "And let the peace of God," or literally, "let the peace of Christ rule," that means to be the umpire, "rule in your hearts, in which you also were called in one body, and be thankful." Let the peace of Christ call the shots. And your inner peace. You know, I don't have a lot of peace here, but I have a lot of peace here. Does that make sense? My mind is always in trouble, but here I have the peace. Don't violate peace that God has given to you. In other words, "Lord, I don't know what to do. Do I do this? Do I go to the left? Do I go to the right?" And you know, "Lord, you're my umpire. You tell me, do I go to first base? Do I go to second base?" You follow me? And if you don't have a peace about what you feel like, what you're asking God that you want to do, don't violate that peace, because you will get in trouble. You'll be in a place where you shouldn't be. Does that make sense? So if when you have a peace, do it. And the Lord is with you. Don't worry about it. But don't violate that peace. Now look at verse 16. "Above all," now, above all, everything else that we've talked about, "taking," that's a verb, that's something, again, we must do, "taking the shield of faith," with which is personal, watch this, "you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." Remember the shield of faith. Is it movable? Yes, it's movable. Now listen very carefully. In Greek, the word shield, which is only found here in the New Testament, means door, okay? So the shield of faith. Faith is always, no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, faith is always the doorway to victory. Amen? Always. It is always the doorway to victory. And who is the door? Jesus. Every piece of armor is Jesus Christ. We're putting him on. And so one of the wiles of the devil, the methods of the devil, is this. He empowers not positive faith, but he empowers negative faith. In other words, he likes to empower head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. See, mental assent does this. It agrees that the Word of God is true. It agrees that the Word of God is powerful, that it is living, and every word of it is. But whenever a crisis comes into your life, all of a sudden you go, "Well, why am I defeated?" You see, the enemy wants you to say this, "Well, I believe God's promises, but," okay? Listen to me. The devil is never moved by what you know in God's Word. He's never moved by what you believe about God's Word, or what you quote, I mean, and so forth, or memorize. You know, to know God's truth is one thing, but to be fully persuaded that it is truth, perfect truth, is quite another, isn't it? Amen. Now listen, I want to make sure on my notes that I wrote down just a few minutes ago, actually, I want to make sure that you get this part right here, and I want to read it to you exactly the way I put it down. I said, never forget this, Christian. Satan is not, or does not respond, he does not yield to mental assent. In other words, "I hope so, or maybe it's going to work." No, our adversary, who is defeated, loved one, he yields only to one thing: faith. Satan hates faith. Do you know that? He hates it. You're saved by faith. You walk in faith. You live by faith. He hates faith. He knows that God is a rewarder of faith. He knows that Hebrews 11:6 is impossible to please God without faith. He hates faith. He knows that the just, Hebrews 10:38, the just shall live by faith. He hates it. He hates faith. Why? Because only, and nothing else, only the shield of faith quenches how many darts? All of the fiery darts, and they are fiery, and they're all different. The doubt of discouragement, the doubt of whatever it might be, fear. God's not going to supply my need. He's not going to do this or that. No, listen, he hates faith. It quenches. When you pull up the shield of faith, which is the word of God, loved one, I'm going to tell you something. He can't take it. It drives him absolutely crazy. And that word all, if you truly are men and women of faith, that word all should give you the most incredible assurance ever in your heart. Now listen, no matter what, no matter what it is, no matter what you see, when your whole world falls apart, when you can't pay your house payment and they evict you, I don't care what it is. Have you ever seen your car towed away because you couldn't pay for it? Three of you. Do you know how that hurts? When you see your Corvette completely taken away? Listen to me. The word all, again, should give every believer incredible assurance. Why? No matter what the enemy can throw at you in this life, you can win if you let this scripture become a revelation. It says, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now listen, if you don't believe that, if you truly don't believe that's true, then you are rewriting God's word. Do you understand? It is true. Now listen, faith keeps you behind the shield. Does that make sense? Shield, that door, the doorway to all victory. Faith keeps you behind the shield, but where there is no faith, there is no shield, and where there is no shield, there is no victory. And the only way to stay behind the shield of faith is looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen? There's no other way. Look at the next one, verse 17, the fifth piece of armor. And take, that's something you do, okay? You have to go get it yourself. Take the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But let's look at the first one there, the helmet of salvation. Now, what does that do, the helmet of salvation? It protects. You put it on, it protects the weakest area in our entire body, and that is our minds. And that is the place that the father of lies, he wants to control your thinking more than anything you can imagine. Listen, he desires that, your mind. See, the reason why, it seems that the mind, for some reason, it seems to believe a lie almost without any effort. Amen? I mean, somebody can be telling you a lie about somebody in the church and you're just eating it up. Come on. No. And this is not about being saved, loved one. We know that this is about knowing that you're saved. So what does this tell us? It tells us that Satan's attack to the head or to the mind are directed to the believer's security in Christ Jesus our Lord, meaning our salvation. He wants you to question your salvation. He wants you to doubt your salvation. He wants to say, well, I don't know if I'm really saved. And he wants you to even, can I lose my salvation? Do you follow me? Oh, he wants that so. And so what is it? You take the helmet of salvation. And what does it mean? It means by faith, you believe God's word and you believe in the finished work of Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, it is finished. It is done. Amen. Now, you are already, right now, you can't change it if you're in Christ. You are already fully blessed in Christ Jesus. You are already fully chosen in him from the foundations of the earth. You're already accepted. You're already redeemed. You're already forgiven, fully forgiven, forever and ever and ever, because you are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you protect your mind with the helmet of salvation. But if you don't put it on, you are defenseless. You're defenseless when it comes to this issue. See, an unrenewed mind is an unarmed mind. Amen? You have to renew to the word of God. Listen, if you are in Christ Jesus, let me ask you a question. It's very simple. This is Vacation Bible School. If you are in Christ, that means you cannot be an Adam, right? Okay. I mean, you can't be an Adam. You'll never be an Adam again. Does that make sense? Never. You can't. I got to get back into Adam. No, you can't do it. You're a new creation. Listen, if you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the very day of redemption, which is our guarantee, the earnest deposit, you cannot be unsealed with the Holy Spirit of God. He who began a good work in you doesn't say, oh, I started it, but now you're just too tough for me. You ain't going to make it. No, he doesn't do that. He who began a good work in you will finish it until the very day of Christ, to the very end. Do you understand? What God starts, God finishes. You are his good work. Does that make sense? Yes, amen. Now listen, so you have to take that helmet of salvation. And then it says also for us to take the sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. That tells us its origin and its source. It's of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the sword, which is supplied by the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God, is our only offensive weapon. And it says the word there is rhema, okay? It's not logos. It's the rhema, meaning the spoken word or the utterance of God, are like when Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, these sayings of mine, remember? He says, he who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man, built his house on a rock. Remember that? Okay, that's the rhema of God. So rhema is when the information here becomes a revelation here and here in your mind and heart. Amen? It becomes alive and living. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the rhema of God, the spoken word of God. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm speaking the spoken word of God to you, the rhema of God. Amen? But I'm getting it from the Logos. Now, listen carefully. Satan's greatest attack will always be against the holy word of God, because Satan knows that God's word is true. He will do anything he can to make the pastor, our Bible colleges, our Christians water down his word and not make it, in other words, where you have an anemic word of God and anemic Jesus. Does that make sense? Just weak. No, the word of God is not weak, loved one, but he wants it watered down. And he definitely doesn't want pastors today to teach the whole counsel of God. Why? Because he's terrified of God's word. He literally is terrified of God's word. Why? Because he knows that a man or a woman, a Christian, without God's word, number one, is not complete. Number two, and not equipped. Amen? There's no other way. He knows that the Word of God is the basis for all spiritual growth in the believer and the basis for all transformation in the life of the believer. He knows that it's God's Word. He knows that the Word of God is alive, it's living, it's filled with authority because God spoke it. Does that make sense? It is God breathed. Now, Satan's greatest tactics are against the Word of God, where you don't use the Word of God. And you know why? Because Jesus, our Lord, he came to this earth. He lived as man. He was our perfect example. Amen. And he defeated the devil with the Word of God. Remember? Matthew 4:4. Jesus said this to the devil. He says, and Jesus answered and said to the devil, I'm adding that part, it is written, I love that, it is written, it stands written, it will always be written, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, every rhema spoken by God, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3, that's the Deuteronomy scripture. I call them wilderness scriptures, okay? He defeated, every time the Lord gave him a scripture, it was from the Old Testament, book of Deuteronomy. He says, no, man doesn't, you know, that's how he defeated the devil. He demonstrated his defeat, and so are we. But the plan of Satan is to this. He doesn't want you in the Word. He doesn't want you to study your Bible. He doesn't want you to memorize scripture. He doesn't want you to have early morning devotionals. He doesn't want you to read the Bible. He doesn't want you into the Bible. He wants you to have a Bible, and he wants to get as much dust on top of that Bible as he can get. Does that make sense? Yeah, listen, he doesn't want you to open the Bible. Really, he doesn't have to worry about that anymore because today nobody has a Bible. I preached a sermon on that. Remember? Just Bible apps. Now, I say that. I love you. Come on, come on. I'm just of another generation, okay? And I'll tell you something else, what he doesn't want. He doesn't want the living word of God taught in the church. He doesn't want what is the Logos that I'm reading, to become rhema or revelation in your heart. He doesn't want that, I'm telling you. And Jesus, remember, did he use any other weapon against the devil to defeat him? No, only the word of God. This shows us that the greatest need in the church today is for pastors to teach the entirety of God's word, all 66 books, not just hit and miss. Does that make sense? That's why we teach through the word of God here. And look at number 18, verse 18, praying always, meaning all occasions, with all or all kinds of prayer, supplication in the spirit, being watchful to this end for all perseverance and all supplication for all the saints. Now listen, Satan does not want one prayer uttered in his territory, which is this planet. He doesn't want you to open your mouth. He doesn't want you on your knees. And of course, we know that prayer is the most neglected spiritual discipline, usually for the believer, until a problem arises. Amen. Then you are a prayer warrior. Yeah. No, listen, he doesn't care if you believe in prayer. Satan doesn't care if you talk about prayer, as long as you don't have a prayer life. Samuel Chadwick said this: the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom, but he trembles when we pray. Why? Because Satan knows who is sitting at the right hand of God. And he knows the one who is sitting at the right hand of God defeated sin, defeated death, defeated him. Amen? Oh, he can't stand it. And he will do anything to limit your time in prayer. Why? Because he knows that whenever a believer prays, he knows and he fears the throne of grace more than any other thing, because he knows what is freely available to Christians who believe God's word. Amen? Oh, listen, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy, find grace and help in time of need. Listen, I know, quickly now, we're the only people on earth who stand in the divine favor of God. We're the only people on earth who have access without condemnation into the very presence of God. Think about that. Oh, Satan doesn't want that. And there is only one way to enter the throne of grace, and that is by prayer, and only by one person. And we know who that is Jesus Christ. Let me give you the scripture. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness in Jesus, not in self, boldness to enter the holiness, meaning the tabernacle in heaven, by the blood of Jesus. And look at verse 18 quickly. Praying always again, and it tells us how, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Now listen, a lot of people, when you get to verse 18, they don't consider that part of the armor. Loved one, if you have not put on the whole, you will not put on the whole armor of God without verse 18. Listen, Satan wants you to grieve the Spirit. He wants you to quench the Spirit. He wants you to vex the Spirit, but he doesn't want you to pray in the Spirit. Do you understand? He doesn't want that at all. He wants you ignorant of the divine helper of the church. He wants you to call the Holy Spirit an it or an essence or a force or a language, but never a person. He wants you to treat the Holy Spirit as a doctrine, and that's okay. He is a doctrine, but he's also a person, or the person, amen? He is the Spirit of truth. He is our helper. He's the divine helper of the church. And we enter, it says in Hebrews 2:18, for through him, meaning Jesus, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now listen, the Holy Spirit is your greatest helper, our greatest prayer partner you can ever have. Amen? He helps you to pray. Let me give you the scripture, Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. I mean, I don't know what to do. I know I need to pray, but how do I pray? How do I do it, Lord? I don't know what to say. And it goes, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he, meaning God, who searches the hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, is because he, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Man, that is a powerful scripture. Listen to me now. True prayer is prayer in the Spirit that the Holy Spirit not only inspires, but the Holy Spirit directs. You know when you are really being, you're praying and you're going, that ain't me. You know what I mean? Come on. And you know, boy, this is good. I mean, you're praying going, oh man, this is, yeah, it's not you. It's the Spirit praying through you who empowers you to pray. Oh, loved one, you know, we have not because we ask not, amen? And he says, look at it, praying with all perseverance, all supplication, and look who for, plural, the saints, the set apart ones of God. That's you, that's me. Listen, all perseverance in prayer means never giving up. It means never quitting until the Holy Spirit gives you a release about whatever you're praying for. Why? Because Satan never gives up. Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not faint. Don't become discouraged. Don't give up. We give up too soon in prayer. We give up before the answer comes. And the answer is on the way, believe me. It is on the way. It's always on the way. It's yes, no, wait, but it's there. Do you understand? Don't ever quit praying. Don't ever let up. Prayer, as I've said a million, prayer is the work. The Bible says, Jesus said in Matthew 7:7, ask, it'll be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, the object of our prayers as we close, each other. It's the saints. We have the same enemy. We live in the same enemy territory. We're in the same war. We're in war together. We don't fight against flesh and blood. Amen? No. Now, we do all of this, run the race of faith with the lightest wardrobe on, but the greatest wardrobe in all the universe. And we do so by faith, for the just shall live by faith. Are you fully dressed? If you're not, then you have not put on the whole armor of God. You have to put it all on. You cannot run the race of faith without the armor of God because you will be unprotected in a fallen world. You understand? You have to have it. Faith. The just shall live by faith. By faith. Father, we thank you tonight. A simple Bible study, a simple word, but how deep it is. Lord, I don't want us to be amiss, Lord, and not put on the armor of God every day. Just like we get up and we get dressed to go to work or go to school or go outside, whatever it is, we get dressed. Well, we need to put on the armor every day and make it where we're aware of it. Where we put on that helmet of salvation, say, nothing is going to shake up my salvation today. Nothing is going to make me unsure that I'm saved. I know the Word of God. Oh, Lord, that's what we need. Oh, we are warriors, Lord. Let us be warriors every day. Bless those tonight, Lord. Bless those that are listening live. Bless those that are ill. Touch their bodies. Touch their hearts. Touch their minds. Relieve oppression, relieve depression. Oh God, let you be the lifter of every head that is hanging low tonight. Lift their heads high and let them feel your assurance in their hearts and in their spirit. We love you and we give you praise tonight. In the greatest name in the universe, in the name of Jesus Christ. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen.